purport by Srila Prabhupada. The simple process of self-realization for every living entity is described here. The first principle to be understood is that this world is a product of the Supreme Will. There is an identity of this world with the Supreme Lord. This identity is accepted in a misconceived way by the impersonalists. They say that the Supreme Absolute Truth, transforming himself into the universe, loses his separate existence. Thus they accept the world and everything in it to be the Lord. That is pantheism, wherein everything is considered to be the Lord. This is the view of the impersonalist. But those who are personal devotees of the Lord take everything to be the property of the Supreme Lord. Everything, whatever we see, is the manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. This is oneness. The difference between the impersonalist and the personalist is that the impersonalist does not accept the separate existence of the Lord, but the personalist accepts the Lord. He understands that although he distributes himself in so many ways, he has his separate personal existence. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. I am spread all over the universe in my impersonal form. Everything is resting on me, but I am not present. There is a nice example regarding the sun and the sunshine. The sun, by its sunshine, is spread all over the universe, and all the planets rest on the sunshine. But all the planets are different from the sun planet. One cannot say that because the planets are resting on the sunshine, these planets are also the sun. Similarly, the impersonal or pantheistic view that everything is God is not a very intelligent proposal. The real position, as explained by the Lord himself, is that although nothing can exist without him, it is not a fact that everything is him. He is different from everything. So here also the Lord says, you will see everything in the world to be non-different from me. This means that everything should be considered a product of the Lord's energy, and therefore everything should be employed in the service of the Lord. One's energy should be utilized for one's self-interest. That is the perfection of the energy. This energy can be utilized for real self-interest if one is compassionate. A person in Krishna consciousness, a devotee of the Lord, is always compassionate. He is not satisfied that only he himself is a devotee, but he tries to distribute the knowledge of devotional service to everyone. There are many devotees of the Lord who face many risks in distributing the devotional service of the Lord to people in general. That should be done. It is also said that a person who goes to the temple of the Lord and worships with great devotion, but who does not show sympathy to people in general or show respect to other devotees, is considered to be a third-class devotee. The second-class devotee is he who is merciful and compassionate to the fallen soul. The second-class devotee is always cognizant of his position as an eternal servant of the Lord. He therefore makes friendships with devotees of the Lord, acts compassionately towards the general public in teaching them devotional service, and refuses to cooperate or associate with non-devotees. As long as one is not compassionate to people in general in his devotional service of the Lord, he is a third-class devotee. The first-class devotee gives assurance to every living being that there is no fear of this material existence. Let us live in Krishna consciousness and conquer the nescience of material existence. It is here that Kardama Muni, Manu is speaking to Kardama Muni, was directed by the Lord to be very compassionate and liberal in his householder life, and to give assurance to the people in his renounced life. A sannyasi, one in the renounced door of life, is meant to give enlightenment to the people. He should travel, going from home to enlighten. The householder, by the spell of Maya, becomes absorbed in family affairs and forgets his relationship with Krishna. If he dies in forgetfulness, like the cats and dogs, then his life is spoiled. It is a duty of a sannyasi, therefore, to go and awaken the forgetful souls with enlightenment of their eternal relationship with the Lord and to engage them in devotional service. The devotee should show mercy to the fallen souls and also give them the assurance of fearlessness. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he is convinced that he is protected by the Lord. Fear itself is afraid of the Lord. Therefore, what has he to do with fearlessness? To award fearlessness to the common man is the greatest act of charity. A sannyasi, or one who is in the renounced order of life, should wander from door to door, from village to village, from town to town, and from country to country, all over the world, as far as he is able to travel, and enlighten the householders about Krishna consciousness. We can see our dear Kesha Maharaj is doing just that. And wonderful to have you back, though, in this country. A person who is, A person who is a householder but is initiated by a sannyasi has a duty to spread Krishna consciousness at home as far as possible. He should call his friends and neighbors to his house and hold classes in Krishna consciousness. Holding a class means chanting the holy name of Krishna and speaking from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. There are immense literatures for spreading Krishna consciousness. And it is the duty of each and every householder to learn about Krishna from his sannyasi spiritual master. There is a division of labor into the Lord's service. The householder's duty is to earn money because the sannyasi is not supposed to earn money but is completely dependent on the householder. The householder should earn money by business or by profession and spend at least 50% of his income to spread Krishna consciousness. 25% he can spend for his family, and 25% he should save to meet emergencies. This example was shown by Rupa Goswami, so devotees should follow it. So I think I'm going to just stop there because it's a very long purport, and we have very little time, if that's okay. So that is a very powerful purport. You can take it, I think, yeah. A wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I hope I can do it some justice, because Srila Prabhupada talked about so many things in that purport. He talked about compassion. He talked about charity. He talked about fearlessness. Talked about, generosity, as Maharaj gave such a wonderful class the other day, talking about generosity. So, compassion. I'm going to speak a little bit about compassion and also a little bit about what role we play in intervening in the lives of many. So, the actual dictionary meaning of compassion is literally to suffer together. And it is the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. Compassion, it always requires sacrifice. And when we meditate on our own dear spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and the sacrifices that he made out of compassion to bring this path of bhakti yoga, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, to us. You know, all the hours he spent translating these books, rising very early in the morning. Every morning, for some of you newcomers, also, we've got a mixed audience here, so we've got a lot of lovely ladies that are here for the week. But Srila Prabhupada rose every morning, very, very early, to translate his books from Sanskrit into English. Wherever he was in the world, he would rise very early in the morning to do that. He said at the beginning of the fourth canto, he said what he was doing was actually a Herculean task. That means it was a huge effort on his part. And before he came to the West, he would be going shop to shop in the blazing heat with his Back to Godhead magazines asking people to take them and read. And he would go to the printing press and get these publications printed. One time he even passed out, you know, because he was making that effort to distribute the knowledge, the sacrifice he was making. All the effort he took to bring his books to America, you know, he brought with him just a trunk full of books when he made his journey on the Jaladutta to America. And gosh, you know, what a sacrifice that was. And even in his last days, in last days of his life, he was lying on his bed, still trying to translate the book so that he could complete this mission that his Guru Maharaj gave. When he reached America, he would actually try and sell these books. I think he had 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first two cantos. Was it first two cantos? Yeah, of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would, and with the money that he would raise from that, eventually he set up the BBT. So all of the sacrifice that he made, all the effort that he put in, is all the power of all of that, all that Shakti is actually in his books. And so we have to understand, we may not realize it, but we have to understand that actually these books are actually have a great power to them. So I'm going to speak a little bit more about that in a minute. I was reading recently in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 11.13.8, Sri Uddhava is speaking to Krishna, and he says, "My dear Krishna, generally human beings know that material life brings future unhappiness, and still they try to enjoy material life. My dear Lord, how can one in knowledge act just like a dog, an ass, or a goat?" The reason he gave those examples is that he gave the example that in the purport, that a dog will go after some food even though he knows he's going to be beaten with a stick, you know, he's scrounging around. And an ass will go after the she-ass even though he knows he's going to be kicked. And a goat, even in the slaughterhouse, right, is still looking after some sex pleasure from the she-goat. So, you know, I was quite struck by this verse because, you know, have you ever wondered why on a packet of cigarettes it says smoking can kill? But still, people smoke, right? People know that if they take drugs, they're going to either get it, you know, addicted, or it's going to have a severe impact on their physical and mental health. But still, they go about and do it. Drinking, people drink alcohol, even they know it's going to give them a headache, or a hangover, or liver disease, or even become severely addicted and eventually death, but still they do it. Even as devotees, sometimes we do things like eating late at night, even though we know we're not going to be able to get up in the morning, right? But why do people do these things? Why do they do these things? Is it for a little bit of pleasure? Even though they know, as it says in the Bhagavatam, they know the consequence, a little bit of pleasure, or is it because they're just trying to dull out their life, or just look, yeah, just for a little bit of joy and happiness, they're searching for it. I always think it's always so wonderful when we're dancing, as we were this morning in Kirtan. We're not intoxicated, we're not drinking or smoking, but we're just naturally joyful with the holy name. So don't think for a moment that people aren't suffering in the material world. People on the outside may look happy and, you know, going about their daily lives. But, you know, there is so much suffering going on. There is so much, you know, and it's on the increase. Mental health is on the increase. And disease is on the increase, you know. So we are ambassadors of Srila Prabhupada's compassion and love. If we imagine all the gratitude that we have for this wonderful life of bhakti, all the wonderful things that we experience, When we're feeling all that gratitude, then we can go out and we can release that and send it out to the world. And that's what we need to do. Krishna has unlimited love for us, and we have a little part of that inside of us. So every day we are chanting Hare Krishna, and we're trying to connect with all our with the Shakti of our gurus and the great parampara, and unlock that treasure house of love of Godhead that Lord Chaitanya distributed. So we can have unfathomless love as Srila Prabhupada had for us, making all those sacrifices and showing all that compassion for us. And so we can go out there and give it to the general public and attract others to Krishna consciousness. You know, devotees are such attractive personalities. I always, well, you know, when I first came to Krishna consciousness, and even now, I'm just kind of in awe of the beautiful qualities that devotees have. People don't kind of relate in the way that devotees do, and even in some of their eccentricities, they're incredibly amazing in what they do. So, there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3:22.5, and it says, if one meets a saintly person and achieves his favor, then the entire mission of one's human life is fulfilled. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives can be achieved in one moment if there is an opportunity to meet a saintly person. So you all have the opportunity, you're all saintly in some ways, because when we're connected to this wonderful path of bhakti, we develop, we are connected, we're plugged in, and we start to develop saintly qualities. And just by sharing something with someone, you can actually give a little bit of that saintliness, you know, that those wonderful qualities that we've experienced in others, that we've been given. But yeah, to develop compassion, you also need very good sadhana. So you need to be plugged in, you need to be connected, and you need to be well-read and understand why you're doing what you're doing. So I wanted to speak a little bit about intervention, because it may sound like kind of a negative word, intervention, you know, because you go to a doctor and he gives you a medical intervention. But seriously, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the intervention of Srila Prabhupada through one of his representatives. And I'm sure many of you, probably most of you who are here today, have had the intervention of a devotee in your life through giving you a book or or sharing some kindness with you. So the dictionary meaning of intervention is an intentional action to change a situation with the aim of improving it or preventing it from getting worse. So the act of interfering with the outcome of or course, especially of a condition or process. So it's such an important aspect of our Sankirtan movement. We don't let sleeping dogs lie. We go out on the streets. We chant Hare Krishna. We sing and dance on the street. We try to awaken within people some sense of spiritual awareness. We go door to door. We go onto the streets distributing books. We do kirtan in many different ways. And yeah, we intervene through so many things. And where would we be today if someone had not intervened in our lives and set us on the path of bhakti? So yesterday we had a bit of a istagosti or a little seminar with some of the devotees that live in the temple. And we were talking about all the things, all the reasons why all the fears we had about sharing Krishna through book distribution. And so many things came up, you know, Antaranga Prabhu was there. So people feel shy or embarrassed, or they're timid to approach people to, you know, kind of you know, we don't kind of, when we intervene in people's lives, we don't do it in a kind of like, you know, shake them up kind of way, but we do it with a knowledge and kindness, right? With the mercy of all our great teachers that have come before us. And as Vaisheshika Prabhu says, we are agents of mercy and ambassadors of goodwill. So we are trying to act as conduits, you know, connecting people to the higher good, right? To a higher truth, and to help them to understand who they are, and to help them to make sense of their lives and feel joy and happiness. So, we shouldn't feel shy to do this, because it's happened to us, and we want to also be an agent in intervening in others' lives. So I wanted to just go through some of the qualities that are corollaries to compassion and that support our efforts to develop this compassion. Courage. So we just talked about being shy or timid. Coming out of our comfort zone. I mean, even in the new age kind of world, when they talk about doing something that comes, when you come out of your comfort zone, there's a great growth that happens. But, just think of the courage, Srila Prabhupada stepping on board the Jaladuta. Just think of that, like going to an unknown land, you know, with little money and old age and ill, you know, not the best of health. What courage did that take? All we're asking is to knock on someone's door or to step onto the pavement, like, you know, boldness. We have to be bold, and facing adversity for Krishna will make you strong. But not only that, it is, Srila Prabhupada has said in so many quotes, and when I joined the movement, it was kind of like, you know, this was the mission of Srila Prabhupada, to share this knowledge with others. And if you did that, you would get the mercy of your guru, you would get all good fortune. So it's a win-win situation, because you're going to get spiritual growth. You're even going to get material growth, you know, just conquering your fears. And you're also going to get the mercy and the blessings of the guru. Srila Prabhupada, the next one was conviction. He says that you have to have the conviction of a person perfectly convinced in the Krishna conscious movement. Well, you may not actually have that. You may actually not have that. However, by doing it, you will develop that. Well, you will develop an understanding of the transformative power of these books. Last year I sat here and I spoke about Catherine sitting here. 2 years ago, she actually got a book in Winchester on the street, right? And she is here today. But not only that, she's come on lots of retreats. She's come lots of times with her family. And she's here for the week. And she's coming to India with us, to Mayapur Vrindavan. And not only that, her daughter is also on the journey with her and loves to come to Mangalarti. So look at that. That's living proof right here. You can speak to Catherine about the power of these books. We've heard so many stories about how people have got books in all sorts of different ways when they most needed them. So that is the mystical nature of these books. Just by touching a book, one can start their spiritual life. And, you know, just knowing that these books have a power of their own to go, it's a magical thing, but they actually go where they are needed. I got a book just at the point when I had explored so many things, and it was just my time to join the path of bhakti. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. But also conviction to know that actually you're not alone when you go and speak to someone about Krishna consciousness and give them a book, that you have the whole of the parampara the whole of the lineage of all our great ancestors who not practiced but wrote so many books, that they are cheering you on and kind of blessing you in your efforts to share Krishna consciousness. Actually, we used to serve in the Bhakti BBL, it was called Bhaktivedanta Books, and there used to be a coupon at the back of the book where if you were wanted more information, you would send it in, and then we would correspond, my husband and myself, we would send out a little introductory package and we would correspond. So we could see firsthand, because people were writing to us with their joy and their realization about how these books have, you know, transformed their lives or come to them at a real time of need. So the more we get feedback, like when last year Antaranga Prabhu, you did the retreat in January, to see all the people coming, that, you know, how many people came? Like 140 people actually made the effort to come and to learn more about Krishna just from getting a book on the street. And I'm sure many have carried on their journey from them. Enthusiasm. Well, we may not actually have enthusiasm, but, you know, it's also okay to actually make this endeavor and feel helplessness. When Srila Prabhupada landed in Boston Harbor in September 1965, just with his trunk of books, and he felt quite helpless, and he wrote this beautiful prayer. It's actually the most beautiful prayer, called the Markinay Bhagavad Dharma. And he said, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. Make me a puppet in your hands." So he was feeling quite helpless, but he just completely surrendered to Krishna, and my gosh, the rest is history. Look what happened. So as I mentioned before, it is a win-win situation, and by distributing a book to someone, it's going to lead not only to their greatest happiness, but also to yours. And it may not happen immediately. You know, we have stories of people getting books and then they put them on a bookshelf and then one of their kids comes along years later and picks up the book. So these, as I mentioned before, it is not a material process. Yesterday, some of the devotees were saying that they felt really shy to actually go on the street and talk to people. And so we were actually, coming up with lots of suggestions on how the books can be distributed. You don't have to go on the streets. There are devotees that go out on sacred street parties. So they'll set up a table and they'll be doing some beautiful kirtan and distributing books. And in that way, people can come to you, or people sponsor books. There's so many different ways. I mean, when I joined the temple, it was just street distribution or airport. I did a lot of sneaking around Heathrow Airport. And in America, worked a lot in the airports because we were allowed to do that at the time. But you can definitely use your creativity and your intelligence in thinking of different ways through your workplace or... Yeah, I mean, there's so many beautiful books. Obviously, Bhagavad Gita is kind of the gem because it's got the essence of all the knowledge. But there are also, I don't know, which book did you get first on the street?
I think I got that one, but Higher Taste.
Topmost Yoga System, which is also from Bhagavad Gita. So there are so many books, and you can give them as Christmas gifts as well. There's so many things you can do. We have to have the conviction that we want these books to penetrate to society. And I think this year, door by door to Gauranga Shore, we're trying to distribute 51,000 Bhagavad Gitas, right? Which is nothing really. I mean, books, I think books are here to stay, even though there's so many online things, digital things, but I think books If you ask my husband, he loves his book. But, you know, the printed book, books are here to stay. People do love books. So patience, expecting the unexpected. It's just like you go to whatever, whichever way you're going to distribute books, you can go and just open your heart to whatever Krishna will send you. And sometimes not so nice. I know sometimes people can be a bit rude or whatever, but seriously, sometimes the most incredible things happen. And you'll just meet that one person who are like, this is just what I've been looking for, you know? Or they're just at the point, they're really eager and they're very interested. And when you find your words, you pray and find the words in which way you're going to present the books, you actually develop a kind of a rhythm. I call it a dance, because when I was on Sankirtan, well, you know, I felt like when you got in the zone and you were really connected, you actually felt really empowered and the words weren't coming from you. And it was kind of like a bit of a dance, whether you were going knocking on doors or, you know, approaching people on the street or, you know, people coming up to you. But you got in a kind of a beautiful rhythm. We love rhythm, don't we? We love chanting Hare Krishna, dancing. Rhythm, the rhythm, this rhythm of our lives, our bhakti lives, is just so beautiful. And, you know, just being patient, because Srila Prabhupada took a lifetime. So don't always expect results, or, you know, and don't always just be looking for the results, but just be looking for that, you know, that desire to share this most beautiful bhakti and these books. One thing is about teamwork, and we have Antaranga Prabhu setting up a team in Liverpool, and, you know, they're going to be a real beautiful team focused on distributing books all over that area. We have a Sankirtan team here, hopefully. Yeah. And being a part of a team, well, we're all, you know, it's actually, it's lots of fun, you know, because you all work together for one purpose. And this is like the living Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we're all actually working together and we're part of this beautiful pastime of going out and distributing the mercy through these books. And I had my most fun times being on the Sankirtan team. Well, I hope I'm still part of the Sankirtan team. But actually, years ago, we had a very dynamic ladies' Sankirtan party. So I'm always speaking to different devotees, like in London and here. We would love to have a dynamic ladies' Sankirtan team. We actually had our own house, actually, like you're setting up a men's ashram. We had our own house, and, you know, it was a lot of caring, sharing, sisterhood, and a lot of just beautiful experiences of going deeper in our practice through sharing this wisdom with others. So I know many of you are, you know, have families and all that, so you can do your part in whatever way, but those of you who have no commitments like that, why not? Let's get together and form a little Lady Sankirtan team. Be part of a great movement, Srila Prabhupada said. These are Srila Prabhupada's words. He said, regarding printing our books and literatures, I may inform you in this connection that I saw one bulletin of Indian Railways in which it was specifically advised that every railway servant should see to it that the wheels of the carriages or vehicles must be always moving, which means that the railway is going nicely. Similarly, all of us should see that our literatures are profusely distributed. That means that our missionary work is going on nicely. Otherwise, we are simply sleeping and eating. And that was a letter to Karandar in Nairobi, 9th of October. Oh, I don't have the year. So, Srila Prabhupada, at the opening of the temple in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Temple, which this year is, next year, it's going to be the 50th anniversary, and they're having a great celebration in April 1975, which was the year that I was actually in India, but oh, I missed the opening of the temple. Anyway, that's a long story, but I actually was in India in 1975. But at that time when the temple was open, Srila Prabhupada called all the local Brahmins to do all we do that like a fire sacrifice, a Vedic ceremony to inaugurate the temple. And so Srila Prabhupada did that, all the customary things out of respect. But what he said, though, was that actually it was the Sankirtan, the Sankirtan Yajna, or this sacrifice of Sankirtan, that was the Yajna. It is the Yajna for this age. So we see many ceremonies, weddings and all that, where these Vedic mantras are chanted and grains are put on the fire. But actually, the sacrifice for this age, which will bring all good fortune to each and every one of us, is this Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada said, thus we had to engage Brahmins to perform costly yajnas. In spite of these yajnas, the members of our society perform Sankirtan loudly with mridangas, and I consider the Sankirtan more important than the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. That was from Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.25. We only have a few minutes left. There are so many beautiful quotes from Srila Prabhupada about the beauty and the importance of book distribution. But I wanted to just finish off, and I also wanted to speak just for a few words about Narahari Sakar Thakur, whose appearance day it is today on this wonderful Ekadashi day. Because he was in I don't know, where do you hear his name mentioned? In the Gaurarti song, we say, Narahari Adikori. So Narahari Sarkar, he would fan with the Chamara, Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was just so pleased with that little service of fanning. So I'm going to read just a few, two or three minutes of a little biography of his, about him. But yeah, just imagine how pleased, how much pleasure you will give to the Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara by just doing a little something this month to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. So this is a poem that I read. It's it's written by my god sister Samapriya Devi Dasi. It's called The Divine Love Trip. Somebody gave this to me, when I read this poem, it's called The Ballad of a Sankirtan Devotee. I thought it was really good, so I just wanted to share it with you. Briha Mridanga, drumming with a sacred mighty force, meant to give your mission on its elevated course. Not graced to travel with you as your servants or your cooks, we dedicated our lives to passing out your books. This life is very precious, nothing more that one can give than to ease the suffering of lost souls and show them how to live. Clad with faith as armor, wielding the sword of truth, enlisted in your army, we sacrificed our youth. One becomes compassionate by being kind to all, lifting every jiva from his tragic downward fall. The Sankirtan mentality gives everyone a chance, awakening a love supreme that lifts all hearts to dance. Taking up this service, we must be strong and brave to see the soul in everyone, not choose who we will save, but leave our egos far away from the holy sight. Where these books of truth emerge, some will run in fright. A sacrifice for your desire is our only claim. We thrive upon your sacred text and chant the holy name. Not graced to travel with you as your servants or your cooks, we dedicated our lives to passing out your books. They were written for all souls, and we are all the same. Your books ignite within the heart a transcendental flame. Enlightened words of ecstasy exist on every page. What could be more valuable in this degraded age? In silent hours of the night, absorbed in meditation, writing down the Lord's decrees of secret revelation. As he spoke to Pandava, a battle though it took, the essence of the Vedas is captured in your book. The guru is always present, but we must play our part. He comes to teach us love of God begins within the heart. An intimate connection, awakening that place, hearing with sincerity, awards internal grace. Krishna knows the selflessness that one accepts to serve and rewards accordingly. We get what we deserve. But in proportion to one's love, the Lord is ever ready to give himself to his dear friend whose service has been steady. And of those other gentle souls serving all these years, not many of us know their names and fewer know their tears. They did not travel with you as servants or your cooks. Their love for you is nurtured by the wealth within your books. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I thought it was so beautiful also because I know my husband always said when Srila Prabhupada would come to Bhaktivedanta Manor, they would always say, oh, no, you can't cook for him. You have to go out on the streets. That will please Prabhupada the most. But actually, one time, the Sankirtan devotees did come to meet Srila Prabhupada in his rooms upstairs. And it gets me every time because he went to each and every one of them and just said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thanked each and every one of them for going out and distributing his books. Just like to finish on that, we learned about compassion, fearlessness, the fearlessness going out, and what else was it? Intervening in the lives of others. I'm just going to just read this short little passage about Srinarahari Sarkar Thakur. Before meeting Mahaprabhu, Narahari had written many Sanskrit and Bengali songs about the Vrajaras of Radha Giridhari. Later, he and Giridhar Pandit always stayed with Lord Chaitanya. Narahari used to please the Lord by waving a chamara or peacock fan. Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda's Gaura Arati song glorifies this, Narahari Adikori Chamara Dulaya. Narahari Sarkar's family was the pride of the Vaishnavas. By their influence, all the people in Srikanda became Vaishnavas. The entire village turned into a branch of the desire tree of love of God. Since the time of Lord Gaurachandra, Srikanda has been a preaching center for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. One day, Sri Nityananda Prabhu came to Srikanda and asked Narahari, all right, we know you are who you are, so where's the honey? By his mystic power, Narahari turned a pot of water into super sweet honey for the Lord's pleasure. So, a very great Vaishnava we can remember today. And also, if we can remember, every morning we sing Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nitya Gita Vaditra Madhyan Manasorasina Romancha Kampashru Taranga Bhajo Vande Guru Sri Charanada Vindam. That the spiritual master is gladdened by the Sankirtan movement. So do we want to make Srila Prabhupada happy? Yes, we do. Door to Door by Gauranga Shwar Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And if you want to develop enthusiasm, you have to associate with some of these wonderful devotees. Guru Shakti, Panchatapa, Antaranga, Radhagovinda, Ruben Prabhu, who have been going out on Sankirtan for many, many years and have that conviction, have that determination, patience, tolerance, and compassion. So, yeah, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for listening. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Granth Raj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.